is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to another edition of Nailed It. I'm one of your hosts, Leonard Sands.
And I'm the other, Debbie Deal.
And we are so happy that to be in the airspace in the listening audience today to talk about all the exciting things about construction, project management, engineering, architecture, everything, interior design, everything in construction we talk about here on the show. Now, today, we want to really kind of take the show in a different direction. Today, we're going to be opening up ourselves to the listening audience. I don't care if you are a new homeowner. I don't care if you own your house for 50 years. And speaking about that, one of my shows, and I'm going to sound very, very old, one of my favorite shows that I go and have to go to a cable and find it is This Old House.
Oh, yeah.
I love that show. Now, outside of This Old House, I like the HGTV and the new stuff. But what I like about This Old House is that the craftsmen and the persons who are doing the renovations and repairs of the old house, they have such knowledge of how to correct, how to fix. And they tell you, but see this wood here, we're changing out this windowsill. This is a maple XYZ, and you can only get this. And they give you a little story of how that material even ended up in the house. I love that about construction.
I love that.
Because I think the general person who isn't in construction doesn't understand that construction and its materials is a story. It's a story.
It's a story and a recipe.
And a recipe.
You know, just think about Abitron. I don't know
I don't know about Abitron.
Oh, all right. So if you have, let's say, an old column, like let's say from the 1700s, and it's wooden, and parts of it are missing.
Ah, there you go.
This is what you can use to actually
fill the voids in the column.
You can sand it down and plane it, and you'll never even know that anything had happened.
No.
I've been using that for like the last 30 years.
And that's interesting because, again, had you not went through the experience of having to deal with a 70-year-old column or a column that's been there for 40 years that's made of wood, and it had to have been very good wood to still be there, to have the shape that you could fill and make good, you would never have that experience.
Remember the magazine Fine Home Building?
Yes.
We'd buy that every month.
Buy them in college every week just so I could learn and get brush up on my skills. Fine Home Building. And so today we want to invite the public. Any question? No question is off the table. There's no dumb questions in construction. There's no smart questions in construction. There's just questions people have, and we'll provide answers for them. So let me help you out with this. Let's say you walk in your home, and I want my trade people to call in and help me with this, because this is questions I'd like to know. So I live in a home, has two floors. The bedrooms are on the second floor. And oftentimes, I'm on the second floor, and the water pressure on the second floor is not as great as on the ground floor. Why is that? I can use my technical abilities in assuming that the water has to fight gravity getting up to the second floor, so its pressure coming out of the end spot may not be at the same
velocity. You might not have as many pounds pressure.
Yeah.
Right? You might need to increase it from 40 to 45 or something like that.
Oh, it's not the
You might need a new shower head. You might have a problem with the shower head.
I may have a
calcium problem.
Calcium problem with the shower head.
Yeah.
So, and speaking to plumbers, you know, these professionals give you a lot of solutions. Mm-hmm. One of the solutions that a great plumber friend of mine, we call him Tiny. Well, he's not Tiny. He's just incredibly talented with his plumbing skills. He said, you may have to add in a recirculating pump. Mm-hmm. And what the recirculating pump does, what he tells me, is that it keeps the water moving in the circuit. So no matter where you are in the house, when you turn on the water, it's directly circulating at that space.
Yeah, it's like a hose in the summer, right? You turn the hose on in the summer, and the first 2 seconds of it, it'll burn your skin
it's
off.
It's going
right?
on but, until the rest of it catches
right,
up.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, you know, and so these are the kind of questions that even we as seasoned professionals have, because we can't know everything to the same degree, right?
I thought you were going to say you're going to put another bathroom in downstairs.
No.
I'm just teasing.
No, I'm teasing. But, you know, that's the wonderful thing about construction. You learn. Every single day you learn something new. Mm-hmm. I didn't know arbitrage. Didn't know what it was. Didn't know you could do that. Now something I learned just today. Mm-hmm. There are persons who occupy homes right now, and they may wonder about things that's happening in their home. Where else would you call? You know, this is the service that I think is so important about shows like Nailed It, and through the relationship that we have being directors and executive of the Bahamian Contractors Association. If you have a question about construction, who would you call? Would you call your lawyer? Would you call your mechanic? Would you call your dentist?
Oh, please, God,
would
don't.
You call your... You would call the construction right? people.
Well, we have a brand new website.
And we do.
People can actually go on the website if they want to and send a message.
And they could send any message.
Help me, right? And it could be another contractor. It could be a contractor that is not maybe a member yet and say, listen, I'm having a problem with this part of this job. I need to ask somebody to maybe come out to the job site with me and look at it.
And advise me on
and
something.
And two heads are better than one, right?
And you know, this is the thing. That's thank you for reminding me, Debbie. We don't ask enough questions. And I think we're almost afraid to be wrong, but you're asking a question because you didn't know something about the area that you would not have been exposed to before. Mm-hmm. So let's say I met a lady inside the lumber yard, right? She was trying to buy shingles. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to know how many shingles she needed to buy. And I said, do you know the square footage of your roof? No. I say, that's okay. It's no freako. Should I need to know it? Yeah, generally. But if you don't, let me ask you, are you building this roof from scratch? No, but we just repaired the roof. Okay. I said, did you replace all the plywood? Yes.
Well, there you go.
Great. I said, do you know that one bundle of shingles has the exact same square footage as one plywood? Mm-hmm. See, really? Mm-hmm. I say, yes. So if you replace 50 sheets of plywood, you need 50 bundles of shingles. In that 1 second, she thought I was a god.
Yes.
But all I was is somebody who understands how construction works and how materials are purchased and how materials are quantified.
Right.
That's not general knowledge.
I have the Walker's Builder Book.
And that helps a lot.
I use that for everything.
Everything. Mm-hmm. But this is what I try to convey, and we try to convey in the Contractors Association. Construction is a specialty. Mm-hmm. It's an experience specialty. Mm-hmm. If you don't learn through doing, you won't know it. One of the interesting things, I had a conversation with a very good gentleman, Mr. Pinder. Mr. Pinder sits on the board of BTPI, and we had a great conversation about the opportunities and challenges for training in construction. And one of the things I encouraged him to encourage the board, not that they don't do it, and he did set me straight on one or two things, but we have to actively involve training vocationally because the classroom environment could only teach you so much. Mm-hmm. You and I know, Debbie, construction is out there. It's not in a room. It's out there. It's you, the young man, installing a door for the first time, putting on hardware, installing crown molding. You could talk that all you want on paper. Mm-hmm. and tell you have to measure a room and get those joints right, that's construction. And that's not easy.
It's like a person becoming a doctor. You finish your degree, mm-hmm. and then you have to intern. And before you intern, you've probably worked on a cadaver, mm-hmm. right? And then when you're as an intern, then that's when you actually start dealing with human beings, right? As opposed mm-hmm. to the textbook, mm-hmm. right?
And then when you finish, you get a real life patient for the first time.
Yeah.
And even that's different from a cadaver.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. this person, the risk factor is that this person can die.
Right.
The cadaver is dead
right.
already.
Right. And it's a good comparison mm-hmm. because most people know that even if they've just watched Grey's Anatomy, for yeah. God's sakes, right? But they understand that kind of stuff. They don't seem to get construction
in that
at
same
all.
Way.
Yeah. They don't
and
get
it's the
it.
Same way.
Yeah.
You could have an idea of how to pitch a roof from a textbook. Tell you get up on top of that building mm-hmm. and try to raise at least a ridge board and get those rafters right. Figuring out how to pitch a roof is not right. as easy as you think it is.
No, not at all. It looks easy, but it's not.
And I think part of that is because we watch the craftsmen do it so easily mm-hmm. that we think, oh, I can do that. You know, one of my colleagues often said, one of the things he found just startling when he came from to the Bahamas from the UK some 20 years ago, he said you'd meet a guy who's a mason. Mm-hmm. Then he also says he's a plumber. Mm-hmm. And if you need electrical work, he says he's an electrician. And he also then said he's a drywall guy. And he's also a painter. He's 10 different things.
He's talked himself out of me yes, using him.
Exactly. But he said, how is it that, and he said, because I came from the UK. If you're a brick mason, you're a brick mason. Mm-hmm. You're not a brick mason and like 9 other things.
No.
He said, how is it in the Bahamas? Everyone knows how to do everything. And I said to him, so what did you hire him to do? We hire him to do drywall finishing. He said, good. And then I'll finish with the drywall finishing. And then he said he could do what? He said he could also do electrical. Did
Whoa.
You try him out as electrical?
Whoa.
He said, yeah, this is what we did. We put him in a room, right? And he didn't know this is a room that we was going to demolish anyhow, right? And we say, rough in the 5 electrical conduits, bring the circuit to be controlled by 1 switch at the door, and be a 3-way switch for the lights. So we gave him the week. Mm-hmm. We gave him the week. Till he had to admit to himself, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do
right.
this. He said, well, why did you say you could be the drywall finisher and an electrician? He said, because I need a job. And y'all were hiring for an electrician. So I got to be what y'all need because I need a job.
Yeah.
He said, well, do you know how dangerous that is?
But again, in this country, electricians are licensed.
Electricians are licensed.
Architects are licensed.
They are licensed.
Engineers are licensed.
They are all licensed.
You know, plumbers are licensed.
Plumbers are licensed.
So those are the things you should not hire anybody except for somebody
who's
licensed
for. But the general contractor
are not licensed.
Are not licensed.
Of course not. Of course
somehow
not.
That does not freak out the powers that be. That has to be. On a given year, mm-hmm. a person who's very active in construction does hundreds of thousands, just under $1 million a year, just easy. Mm-hmm. And that individual, if they're honest and doing a good work, that's no problem. That same individual who is the reverse of that, not honest, not doing a good work, still does $1 million worth of work, you mm-hmm. know. Just disappoints a whole lot of people.
Yeah. And there's really, even though you can go to court, nah.
Yeah.
You know, not
you
really.
Throw another 40, 50 grand down inside legal
yeah,
fees.
It's
and
not
you still
worth
don't
it.
Get a remedy.
And
if the person is,
again, the yeah. judge is going to say you hired somebody who isn't a contractor.
I don't know if the judge
I mean, I don't understand it. You go to Canada, you can't even hang a door unless you're
no.
a licensed carpenter.
You go to
and
United
you have to show
States.
That you're skilled or you won't be able to do it.
You go to the United States, you mm-hmm. can't even offer. Mm-hmm. You can't even offer. Forget hanging the door. You can't even offer yourself to be a contractor.
I'm sorry.
You can't even offer yourself to be a contractor. They will call. They'll call on the bureau and have you arrested because you can't do that. You have to be licensed. Forget hanging the door. You can't
right.
even say that I'm a contractor and not be a contractor.
Right.
You get arrested. But in the Bahamas, where we're boasting of $200 million investment here. And you know, let me go to that. Yeah, I was not going to touch it. I'm going to touch it.
Okay.
While I am excited for the opportunity for some work to happen at the resort inside Exuma. But the DPM is talking about, and the developers are so excited about, and all that stuff. I'm concerned about when I read in the paper that they're going to have some 250 to 300 jobs during construction. They say jobs.
Yeah, no, no careers. God forbid we get
careers. That's fine, though, but they say jobs.
Yeah.
I doubt that's going to be Bahamian jobs.
Correct.
I've worked in Exuma from, I worked on Emerald Bay before I went to university. I was part of the management team on the construction side. We had a man cap. I was there for all of that. Most of those young men came from New Providence.
Nice.
Okay? That's why they lived in the man camp. Because if you were from Exuma, where would you live? In your house.
Right.
I lived in a man, the guys who lived in a man camp, I live in private housing provided by the developer. 200 people in a man camp. Now, I want the public to understand this. That means that there is no labor on the island to build that project.
Not enough.
They need 300 people. Right. They may find 40.
Right.
Okay? So they're going to need another man camp.
Right.
And here's what I want them to know. This is not hyperbole. This is not me guessing. The facts. They will come from other islands.
They won't
come from Exuma. So this whole... The economy will make all this money from Exuma people working. That's not going to be the reality. I had to put a Scotiabank on the site with the mine camp for them to cash the checks because they had to send food and monies back to their families in New Providence.
Right.
They were not Exumians. The rise in incidents of fighting on a Friday, Saturday because all these Nassau fellas in Exuma getting a couple of drinks and getting a little rowdy and disturbing the kind of the natural way of things are on an island, it's because you have persons who come to Centered Island to do the work. So I'm not saying this is all negative. I'm just telling you the reality of the situation.
Earlier you had said, when the person from UK said, but how come you are, you know, you do all these different things? And one thing we do have to remember here is we do have a very small...
Population.
We have a small amount of jobs going on based on if you were in the UK and you could travel anywhere in the UK.
Millions
so,
of
you
people.
Know, I remember 40 years ago, you were a carpenter in the winter and you were a fisherman starting
in
May, right? And you were a taxi driver and then you were a carpenter or a mason or a plumber or whatever.
You couldn't just stay in one.
You couldn't. Yeah. There wasn't enough jobs to actually keep you working.
Yeah.
Now there
are enough
jobs, but they don't come to us. We were never given the opportunity or seldom given the opportunity.
I will say this, and I want some of the equipment operators out here to refute my claim. I've been trying to hire a backhoe since Monday. It's Thursday.
What?
Nobody has showed up yet. That's how busy they are.
Wow, that's awesome.
Now, that's great. Construction, apparently in heavy equipment space, is booming. Not one backhoe.
Wow.
Not one backhoe. Not one backhoe.
Did you call Denver?
I didn't call the Caterpillar, but I certainly called enough contacts in that space. Four or five. I'm coming. Got too busy. I'm coming. Got too busy. Coming. Sorry. Got another call. Want to do it. I'm like, that's great. That's very great.
But that's why when we find somebody that it really is good at what they do, we hang on to them for dear life. Like, if I have a Thai guy that's super busy, right? So I always
the good ones
way,
always are
way before he's I'm ready for him. I find out what his schedule is so that I can make sure that we are at that stage at that time. Because
so you could get
if
him.
I don't get him during that window, I will not get him, right? And there's a couple other tradespersons that are like that, right? And people don't understand that. Well, why are you rushing? Well, if I don't rush to get this to this stage, I will not use a tile layer that I don't know.
Absolutely.
Because I know that this guy is going to do perfection.
Yeah.
If I can accept it, and I am the fussiest person on earth, you know, that's what I want, right?
Yeah.
So, as
I continue reading on the little write-up in the paper, it was a full page ad in the paper, it talked about how BTVI will be training the persons to work on the project. Now, I hate to burst this bubble. Mm-hmm. If I need a carpenter in September, you can't train someone to be a carpenter.
Oh, no.
By September.
Oh, no.
That's not possible.
No.
So while I hear that,
they would have to apprentice with another carpenter for at least a year.
At least a year.
At least so a year. Just
when I read that and say we partnered with BTVI to train persons in order to work on the project during construction, that's not possible.
Do you know how many times I've gotten to a job?
That's not possible.
And they don't have a square and they don't have a level.
That's besides the point. You got to know to use the square and the level.
Yeah, but if you're a carpenter, you know. At least you bring your tools, right? You can actually go on and ask Google, what tools do I need if I'm going to be a brand new carpenter? First thing you're going to need is a level, a square, a hammer, you know.
Having it is still not as bad as having it not knowing how to use it. And I've seen that too. I've seen a guy loaded down with all the tools, and your building's not square. He don't know how to use the square. So he could have the tool.
He doesn't know 3, 4, 5.
No. So again, I'm saying that while I think the opportunity exists, you got to, what we've been advocating, and I continue to preach this for the last time, if you know you're going to build a hotel in 2025, the time to train the carpenters and masons and electricians.
It's 2023.
It's 2023 or 2022.
Yeah.
You can't tell me today you're going to start a school to train the carpenters who are going to work on the school on the project that starts 2025. No one in real life would think that makes sense.
Right.
But those things we hear in the public, and the public reads it, and the public doesn't understand it. In construction, we have experienced, trained individuals working so we can produce results. You don't go on the job site with the expectation that you will be trained to do the work. Debbie, you're not going to hire a guy you have to train to install the crown molding.
Oh, Lord, God, no.
You want someone who knows how to install the crown molding.
Oh, yes. Otherwise, it's going to be crooked. It's not going to be cut right.
And you still have to pay the individual.
And you have to I'm going to have a headache.
And you're going to have a headache. It's no. So
one good thing about
train before the need is there.
Right. But you know what I liked about what Atlantis did back in 2000, I think it was, when they first started? They actually did have drywall classes. And a couple of the people have come to our meetings, learned how to do drywall
from those classes.
From those classes, and they really did do exactly what they said they would do. They would bring in their own guys, but they would also train ours.
Train the guys, yeah.
And that's what, you know what, that should be in every single contract of foreigners that are coming in this country. That's what it should be.
It's not that way.
No, I know, but I'm saying that's what it should be. And if I was somebody, a foreigner coming into this country, I would want to do the same thing. I would want to be able to at least leave something in that country.
Of course.
Right? As opposed to
Better than you wanting to do that, I would make that law.
Well, that's what I mean. It should be a part of the of your whatever agreement you sign with the government.
But you don't think that the wonderful politicians we had would have the sense to ask the Contractors Association. We're about to strike a deal.
Apparently, they don't even know our number or our name because they never contact us for anything.
No. So, you know, we're about to write this heads of agreement. What do you think we should put in there would ensure young persons have an opportunity in construction? If you just ask us, we'll
tell
you.
Even if they ask to give advice, that's all.
You could just ask because I guarantee you no politician knows more than us about construction. You could pretend all you want. You could puff your chest up, you could talk eloquently all you want, but I could guarantee you don't know more about construction than the constructors at the Contractors Association. So stop doing a disservice to the nation by going into spaces, crafting arrangements and deals as lawyers who don't understand the implications for the growth and development of your country rest in the artisans that are in your country that can do the work, and sometimes if they can't do the work, be trained to do the work ahead of the need so you don't have to import labor. So it brings us back to where we are today. We're in a place where we still have to import labor because as good a job as BTVI is doing, and they're trying their best, the best they know how, the best they know how, the demand far outpaces the supply. We do not have 100, 200 carpenters to go staff that job. We do not.
But then we need partners like BTVI to also rip off the Band-Aid with government and say, listen, this does not make any sense. We need, we can do it. We have the people here.
You need masks.
We need to train them.
And you need
people who can actually travel to the family islands. Because I know when we were doing tower bases, a lot of guys didn't want to go to Mayaguana or Rumkey or Inagua.
Money will take you anywhere.
Huh?
Money will get you anywhere.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, this is construction. I told somebody the other
day. Well, that was construction.
If you tell me I make $180 a week, I work in a food store chain or whatever, or $225 a week,
mm-hmm.
and you tell me you want me to work in Mayaguana, mm-hmm. and I will make $1,000 a week, I'm telling my family today, if I'm that young man, I will see you in several weeks, I'm going to Mayaguana. Because
mm-hmm.
I got to work 5 weeks to get the $1,000 from working $225, and I get it 1 week working in Mayaguana, you could text me because I can be in Mayaguana. Mm-hmm. You will go where the money is.
Yeah.
You will go where the money is. So, again, there's great opportunities. We talk about it all the time. There's great opportunities mm-hmm. in construction for young people, men and women. But I find that the training is not enough. I know high school young persons who are doing some electrical, some carpentry, and that's good. But the numbers are not big enough. I want the numbers to be in the hundreds.
Well, they need more. They need more scores to
schools.
Schools to actually do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need more schools to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think it needs to be nationally. It needs to be nationally implemented that every school has to have carpentry, masonry, plumbing, electrical. That's the must desire. So we got a call. Let's take this call. See what we got here.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon. You're live.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
But I'm not a first-time listener. Debbie, this is your friend from church, Deborah.
Oh, my goodness. How are you? La Roma Hunt's
I'm intensely
friend.
Listening to you all, and I'm just getting, really, I don't know, very ruffled in my spirit. I am saying, this is what I'm thinking as I'm listening to you all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm hearing all this wisdom, all this knowledge, and, you know, what we need happen, and the ministerials, and them bringing in these big projects. I feel, and I don't know which guys, that perhaps you guys just need to take the bull by the horn. See, when you have a passion for your country, there's times you just got to take the bull by the horn and say, hey, listen, I love my country, and we are here to help. We are the Contractors Association. I lead this, blah, blah, blah. And we want our youth to be successful. And so maybe with all of what I'm hearing, perhaps you guys need to just get in front of the situation, because when you guys go off the scene, who's going to do it? God is giving you guys all of this knowledge and wisdom, and it's for the good of the country.
It really is.
So
it really is.
I am just given the person that I am coming from that perspective. I'm all about seeing our nation succeed, and what you all have to say. I am not a carpenter, and I almost feel like going to be a carpenter, Debbie.
Well, that's good. We got one carpenter on the way then.
Yes. Well, you know what? We have some things. We have some things planned for this year. So you're going to be very, very excited and very surprised at what we are going to actually do. We haven't announced it yet because it's just a tad too early.
Yeah, but it's major.
But it's major. It's major.
A lot of young guys in these inner cities. Mm-hmm. They are just hung.
Yeah.
I think that somebody showed them that I want to help you guys, or mm-hmm. go to the community centers that they have in the various areas.
Right.
Man, God wants to, what I am hearing is just so explosive to me.
Yeah.
Anyway,
The guys that come to church from Bash.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, that's what Eric goes.
Eric
just
brings them
in
almost every week.
You know what a friend told me?
Mm.
They said, you know, the Jamaican people, when these guys come here, they come from Jamaica already skilled.
They do.
Yep.
Okay? So we need to we need to think about helping our young men. I feel so burdened listening to you all.
Yeah.
I'm going to a service, but I just thought I'd stop and call.
We appreciate it.
Thank you
we
so much,
Deborah. We absolutely appreciate it. Thank you
I
for calling in
on
and thank
Sunday.
You for your comments because we feel just as passionately as
thank
you about about
yes.
what you said.
Have a blessed day, evening.
All right. Bye. Thank you. So, again, you know, this is what we talk about. We talk about the fact that we see the rich potential mm-hmm. that everyone who is interested in construction could have if only we find a mechanism to train our young people. We got another caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Good evening. You're live.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, good evening to both of you. I have been listening to this program since you all started, and I really enjoy it, and I find it
thank
very...
you.
You know, y'all are knowledgeable. You know what you're talking about. And it also helps people who are building or who want to build to, you know, to want to find out more
yes.
about who's going to build my house.
Mm-hmm.
Or
which
build
is important.
Whatever building they're building. Because you have people out there who say they can build, and they're not builders.
No.
They're not really, you know, they don't have
the skills
right
and the expertise.
Certificates, yeah. the right know-how to do these mm-hmm. things, and they want to do it. So this program is really an excellent program, and I enjoy it.
Thank
I
you.
I enjoy it, and I listen every week. You'd think I was going to be a builder.
Well, sir, you know what? I'm very encouraged this evening.
I just love to hear the way, you know, the way you all talk about it, and to hear the knowledge, and you know what you're talking about. And so, you know, like the lady said, you know, going into to help these children in the different areas, because there are a lot of people out there
yes.
who, you know, like sometimes everybody sends children to school. Everybody wanted the child to be a doctor, lawyer,
no.
and an
yeah.
accountant.
Yeah.
You know, I say, you know, I say doctor, lawyer, and Indian.
Engineer.
Everybody mm-hmm. wants that. But every child does not want to do that.
No.
Correct.
No.
You know, I couldn't do it.
Child in the way that child wants to go. I know somebody's child who wanted to do farming.
Yeah.
They literally discouraged that child from doing that, and he was really interested
that's
in farming.
Sad.
But if
you
need to eat.
And we need things like
yes.
that. We need to farm. We need the food
we
production.
Do.
But they were discouraged. But seriously, there are children out there. Like when I went to school, they had woodwork.
Me
you
too.
Know, the guys did woodwork. We did sewing and we did cookery and they had woodwork.
Mm-hmm. I did carpentry and agriculture because
you know?
I was not an academic.
I hope young people are listening mm-hmm. so that they could be able to qualify themselves and really get to know if this is something they like doing.
Mm.
Do it and do it well.
Right. When you consider there's 7,000 or 8,000 children that come out of school every year. After graduation, and they're all looking for work,
right?
You know,
and
we have to make sure that
there,
they have
then
something.
You go on a construction site. The majority of the people they are not Bahamian.
No, mm-hmm. and I've said that over and over. Mm-hmm. We're losing our young people to opportunities which are being afforded to other persons.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're not Bahamian. Everybody cannot be a doctor, lawyer,
no.
and an
absolutely.
Accountant.
You're absolutely.
You know,
right.
there are other professions out there. Who makes more money than the plumber?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the electrician. You know, you these things should be stressed.
Mm-hmm.
These children need to learn these things from very early in school
mm-hmm.
so that whatever skills they have, whatever trait they want to develop, you could develop from young.
Because, you know what, if you're in high school and you have something that you could actually take, you might not like it, but you're taking it and trying it, right? And you think,
right.
oh, okay, well, that's not for me. And then you try something else. Okay, well, that's not for me. And eventually you're going to find something that is for you.
That's
but
right.
you got to try doing different stuff.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important.
Yeah.
And this show, I'm telling you, this show is so good because then I say, well, you know, when I'm ready to get tired, man, now, I'm going to make
yes.
sure I find out.
You got to call the Contractors Association.
Yeah.
That's right, I have to call contact you or
yes.
I need some tiles and work done.
And not everyone can lay tiles, so
you
want to get the people who know how.
Tiles, cook it in the corner.
Exactly.
Oh, Lord God. Stubbing your toe for the rest of your life. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. A tile, you know, they sent me a tile guy. Someone said, he knows what he's doing. And I mean, when he finished laying the tile, and that was only in the shower. I wanted to holler.
And that's so unfortunate.
And now I have to go and have that done.
Done over. Again, exactly.
You should only do something
one time.
That's yeah. right.
Yeah.
You know, because you kind of. Afford today to be doing things
over and over. No,
but
it's
you
costly.
You shouldn't have to be able to afford to do that because you should only pay for something once. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is done properly. So y'all continue. This
Thank
show
you.
Is excellent.
Thank you.
Continue the good week.
Thank you.
Like
Thank
I say,
you very
I
much.
Every week. I look forward to this.
Great.
Love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy
okay.
the rest of the evening. Yeah. Thanks for your call. I think, you know, those are two wonderful calls, and we really appreciate the call and getting the feedback because mm-hmm. We speak for, and I want the public to understand, we speak for the thousands of men and women out there in construction mm-hmm. who don't sit behind these microphones.
Right.
We are only echoing a voiceless community of persons who work every day
right.
from early in the morning to late in the afternoon, building structures that you pass by and admire and don't know that your friends, your cousins, your aunties, uncles are involved in that project. And I often romanticize about construction because I tell people all the time, I am a carpenter's son. Mm-hmm. I watch my dad come home every day with a tool bag and his square and his handsaw and his skill saw. And I am that product. Mm-hmm. I have only changed my abilities because I went to university and did project management. But I learned that there's just pride in his work. And I remember going around on Sundays, he put us all in the car. He'd say, yeah, I put the roof on that. I built that. And I was just remembering my brother, we just said, oh, I'm like, crap, Dad, you built that? Yep, I built that.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, just birthing me, I want to do that. Because the pride in which he was explaining to his sons,
right.
look at what I did.
Right.
And that conveys even to young men and women today. Mm-hmm. They are proud of being able to say, look at what I did, Mom. Look
yes.
at what I did, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes the politicians don't appreciate just the enormous amount of gratification that could come from young people using their hands in constructing something that looks back at them and say, you did this.
What we do is tangible.
Yeah.
We're not in an office.
You
we're
can
not,
look at
we're,
it.
We're doing something tangible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
And so that's what we talk so passionately about training.
Mm-hmm.
There's really gulf of opportunity that we're not taking advantage of.
Right.
Well, we had the music is on. We're going to go to our first break, and we'll be right back after this.
Who has the best quality windows and doors in the country? Find out Saturday, April the 12th when Stormframe Windows and Doors puts theirs and others to the test. Enjoy delicious taco and save big on top brands like PGT, CGI, and Windor. With hundreds of windows and doors in stock, Stormframe is the largest window and door dealer in the Caribbean and the largest fabricator and dealer in the Bahamas. A big sale, tasty tacos, one day only and just in time for hurricane season. Saturday, April the 12th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. only at Stormframe Windows and Doors.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We are back, and what we'd like to do now is thank our sponsors, because without our sponsors, we wouldn't be able to be here at all. Again, the show is the Bahamian Contractors Association show. We are a nonprofit, and we are basically here to teach, to bridge the gap,
educate,
and do whatever we can possibly do to actually help the industry and the persons in it. But we'd like to thank the persons who actually sponsor this show, and we have many this week, which is amazing. We have Bahamas Safety Solutions, we have The Paint Place, Wosley Construction, ARM Refrigeration, we have CB Bahamas, we have Insurance Management, Veritas, and ART. Thank you very, very much for helping us do this show and making it making it a reality from a possibility.
And I think what we need to say about our sponsors is that when we told them that we were going to do the show, we didn't make a whole long, drawn-out thing about it. We just told them about what we hope to achieve with the show. And I'm really, really happy and thankful that we had partners that jumped on right away and said, you know what, we believe in the vision for the BCA to have a radio show to talk about construction. And these persons who you hear are sponsors, only a small snippet of the thousands of persons in construction, the hundreds of suppliers and artisans who do things in the construction space. I mean, it's a whole community in construction. And this is what I often talk about. I can tell you about the companies that provide your rebar. That's an area you wouldn't know. That's art development. And then there's the other steel manufacturers that do rebar.
Right.
There's the companies that provide your lumber and your plywood.
Concrete.
And those are the concrete that you know about. If I ask the general public, name me a first question, how many concrete plants are there in Nassau? Very few people would know unless you're in construction.
And do you know what?
Do you know what their names are? Very few people would know unless you're in construction. How many block companies are inside New Providence? Very few people would know outside of the main supplier, but there's more than one. Inside the door and window space, there's a lot. And there's some big players and there's some small players. In the space for shingles and roofings and tiles, there's a whole community what we talk about.
If you had never built a house before,
you would never have
looked at concrete trucks. They
no.
could pass you
Up
all
and down,
day long and
you wouldn't even
think about it. All of a sudden you've got one at your house and you're thinking, ooh. And then you see every concrete truck.
Yes.
What company is
that?
Because
you notice the color and that one is different from another one.
Oh, poor them. They're broken down on the side of the road. But you know what I mean? You all of a sudden
notice these things.
You would never notice before.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And then secondly, too, when you think with the companies, and this is why I'm so proud of the sponsors, think with the companies and their employees and people who are, we think about the contractors, the only one in construction. All of these companies have employees. They're in construction.
Right. Well, people think that you could only be a contractor to be a member of the Bahamian Contractors Association.
That's another misnomer.
But a contractor is just a person who accepts funds for a job.
Contracts?
Right?
So, that's it.
So you could be a supplier. You could be a subcontractor. You could be a contractor. You could be a general contractor. We're not isolated by just being a contractor, because we can't do anything without suppliers, without subcontractors,
trade vendors.
Otherwise, we couldn't do anything.
You can't do anything.
No.
Yeah.
So it's a team.
Yeah.
It's a team. That's why it's an association.
And speaking about that, I'm Debbie. This is where I say this in a very sobering way, because I experience it. Part of my experience in the last 8.5-9 years. Outside of being the contracting space, is the management of developments on the project on the western end of the province. And there's 350 active young men on that site every day. There's about 15 to 16 trade contractors who these young men work for, different trade contractors. Mm-hmm. Do you understand the harmony, the working relationships that have to exist mm-hmm. when you have 350 Bahamian men working with sometime other nationalities to build a single thing? We often think about the fact that, oh, we can't work together. That's not true. I see it every day. We do work together.
You have to know exactly what you're doing as a contractor with everything, with getting the materials there, with making sure the funding is working out, with making sure the payments are getting out.
The sequence of work is right. That when the plumber finishes, the electrician goes, the HVAC goes.
It's a constant thing.
Yes.
And the team has to work together. If the team doesn't work together, it does not work. Right? Somebody will say, well, I can't do that until
this guy finishes that.
End of April. Too bad. I'm sorry. I got to get somebody else because we got to finish that now. Right? They don't get that. But that's what a good job actually starts with. It starts with everybody agreeing to be a part of the team.
Team and work together as a team on the same project. And
if you act like you're the boss and they're just, you know,
no.
It's got to be team. It's a team effort.
So as I look at how I analyze, and I tell people all the time, if you analyze how construction works, it's all this communications that's happening mm-hmm. all day. We often talk about people in construction don't know how to communicate. They communicate all day. They just don't communicate in the way that you're used to people communicating. Mm-hmm. An electrician knows that he's not going to put his main red hot wire line next to this wet stack because he knows that could be a problem. Mm-hmm. So now he has to talk to the guy and say, yeah, where's your stack going to go? Go here? Okay, I'll bring my conduit this way. They're going to talk to each other all day. Mm-hmm. The drywall guys is going to wait till the framing guys finish the work and say, okay, I need to get in there and start, you know, putting up this board and pacing this board. Because the guy, and the guy who's coming behind him, the carpenter, say, make sure the corner's square. When I go to run my crown molding, I don't want to run into trouble. They're talking all day.
Yes. And basically, most days I have to say, this needs to be done because, you know, there's other people following
you. Coming behind you.
You can't wait and do your job when you feel like it because I got like three other trades coming behind you.
It's communication.
Yes. After that, there's the client.
It's his client. So I think mm-hmm. part of this whole conversation that we're having is so the public could understand that there's no mystery to what's happening in construction. But we want to expose as much of it to the public so they understand that this whole ecosystem exists with the persons you see walking down the street with a bag at the end of the day and dusty boots and his tools hanging out his back pocket. That guy is a part of a team that's working together on magical things to help this built environment. And he's coming in the bank on a Friday to cash his check and say, these dusty guys, they're out there building the stuff that you going to enjoy in several months.
But it is magical. When it gets to that stage, right, and you can actually see it all coming together.
The walls are there, the windows are there.
Everybody gets excited. Oh, yeah. The client comes in, they get excited. They bring their friends, mm-hmm. they get excited. And it is magic.
It's the magic.
It is magic.
And I think, and I've often said, we don't appreciate, let me say this. And I can take this to the place that we have never taken it before, and I can say this. I often see the national honors, and I'm not taking away from all the persons who get national honors, the HMBs and all this other thing for this space and the reverends and the politicians and the banker and the mm-hmm. lawyers.
We need everybody.
I have hardly seen a contractor get a national honor, as if we're saying the space that inhabits, that the lawyers inhabit was built by somebody in a firm, mm-hmm. in a company, someone mm-hmm. that immense skill and talent. Mm-hmm. That's not a national honor. The stadiums, the things that people built that occupy, we didn't think for years,
hospitals,
50 years,
churches,
hospitals built.
Bridges.
We didn't think
roads,
that
infrastructure
person provided this country mm-hmm. a service beyond themselves. And I say, this is what we continue to do. We continue to push people in the built environment to a space where we look down on them because we don't give them a national honor. Every single, and I don't, every single reverend holds up a book, we give him honors. Someday, oh, he's a reverend, he's preaching the gospel. Yeah, that's well and good. I'm not taking anything away from that. The church he's in was built by somebody who had to have the skill.
Yep.
We don't appreciate the people in the built environment.
We're preaching.
We barely appreciate the architects.
We are preaching the building trade on this show.
Yes.
Yes.
We don't. We hardly appreciate the engineers. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about the engineers in this country who stand toe to toe with international engineers. We don't talk about the architects who design at the same level of the guys in California, mm-hmm. in England, in Ireland. We don't talk about our talent inside the built environment space. That's what this show is about. Mm-hmm. So the public could understand that pound for pound, the humans in this space are the best among everyone in the world. But we as behemoths need to appreciate our own a lot better. And then the final thing, which you said, is so true. You take a young man from Jamaica. He's 18 years old. Mm-hmm. He just finished high school. He has more skills than most of the 18-year-olds in the Bahamas, because in Jamaica, they do vocational training in high school to a level that he has to pass an exam mm-hmm. to graduate right. from high school in that vocation.
Because they understand.
Understand that if you need the room built, you need to have a carpenter.
Yeah.
I've often said this. Okay, if we're in a country now where the women outnumber men, that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Secondly, of the women that outnumber men, they are in colleges and universities and getting the higher education. So we got the men that's left. You have to train the men in something. They're not going to colleges. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go into universities. What are they being trained in? And then you wonder why you have to import labor. They're not being trained in anything. That's a failure of a state to recognize an opportunity to say, see this group here? I need to train them in something before they leave school. I can grab them. And I can determine, and this is what I want us to do for the next development. I want us to say, we don't have to import any labor for the next from 2025 to 2026, 2027. The project that starts in 2027, I've trained 300 carpenters and 400 masons. Don't bring anyone to my country. I've trained them. Now, what we need is a government and a mandate that's strong enough to say, I dare you to bring them into my country, because I just spent $10 million training 700 people. They're going to build this project, like right. what they do in Turks Island.
Right.
We got another call. We'll take this call. Good evening. You're live. Welcome to Nailed It.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Great. I didn't say you talked about the engineers and how skilled our engineers and our architects.
Yes.
I just wanted just to put something out there for you, for the listening audience. I have a cousin. I wouldn't call his name because he would more likely be embarrassed having his name called. But when he was in school in Chicago, taking up architecture, they had a competition, and there were 40 countries involved in the competition to design a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
He came first.
Wow.
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 That's awesome.
You see that?
He came first.
This is what I tell people they don't understand.
We have the talent.
We have the talent.
Yes. We just need to give them the opportunities.
I just thought I'd put that out there for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and appreciate you calling and share that. Very, very pleased that you have a very intelligent, very great engineer as a cousin. May need to call him someday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. So, again, look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. I tell people all the time, it's only because our industry, we don't have a voice to talk about this wonderful skilled people inside mm-hmm. the construction space. Mm-hmm. You hear the lawyers talk and the doctors get in front of the television and the bankers and the accountants. They get their space. Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever put a mic in front of a person who's working in construction and tell them, can you talk to us about how you was able to build this? And I challenge the news reporters. No one does that.
No.
They look for a guy in a suit to talk to. They look for a lady in a nice suit to talk. They don't ask a guy who's out there working with his hands, mm-hmm. how do you know to do this? Because I could guarantee you, they can't do that. I can't do what they do. They're real craftsmen inside this space that deserve to have the honor and respect of being very good at what they do. And that's what we desire to promote from mm-hmm. the Bahamian Contractors Association standpoint.
Right. And maybe what we need to do is do something where we acknowledge one particular person from a particular trade every month or something like that.
So
I think we should do that.
We're going to have, and I think that's a great idea. So let's do that. So we're going to either have a contractor of the month.
That would be
great.
Trade
person of the month,
mm-hmm.
rolling up to our contractor of the year awards that we plan to have inside mm-hmm. December.
Right.
But we need to start promoting that idea right now.
I think so.
We need to start from where
we have our luncheon coming up.
We have a luncheon
April,
coming up, and
so
we're going
to
award the contractor of the month at our next luncheon.
Yes, we need to do that.
That's the idea right there.
We need to do that.
Because if we don't start to at least feel very good about talking about the the people that we know are, mm-hmm. are rock stars in construction. Yeah. No one else will.
Well, a baseball team, right? At the end of the baseball team, one person will actually get an award at that because they did. Yeah. They got the most runs, or mm-hmm. they got the most hits, or they were the most valuable player for the day. We need to talk about our thing that is coming up on April 25th.
Yeah, Mix and Mingle.
Yes,
mix
come and meet mingle us. With the come BCA. On, guys.
And it's open to everyone. We'd like to see as many contractors out there as possible. It's going to be at the Warwick Hotel. Mm-hmm. What date is it we got?
April 25th.
April 25th. Yeah. It's a free event. Mm-hmm. We want just the community to come out there and enjoy some food and drinks with the Contractors Association. Meet some of these skilled professionals. Meet some of these everyday persons who you see walking around, mm-hmm. building stuff, landscaping stuff, erecting structures, mm-hmm. Plumbing, every division. We're inviting to come out and represent your trade mm-hmm. at our Mix and Mingles. We're going to have fun, food, drinks, dancing. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a whole night of just having a good time. And we will be giving away prizes and surprises.
Right.
So I want everyone to come out and show out to the Bahamian Contractors Association's Mix and Mingle at the Warwick Hotel on the 25th of April 2025. The date's not stuck with me yet. I get it before the next show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, like you said, mm-hmm. we're doing some exciting things this year. That's just step one.
The second announcement
is going to be the one that's going to.
Yes.
The newspaper will carry the news for the next 2 weeks after we announce that one.
Absolutely.
And hopefully it changes things in the country. And so that's as much as we're going to say. Mm-hmm. We're going to step out in a bold new direction and hope. It encourages change in the space of construction for the better. That's as much as we're going to say on that.
Right. And then if you go visit our website, you'll see the events and things that we do have coming up. And the Mix and Mingle is there. Mm-hmm. So if
our luncheon information is there.
Our luncheon information is there.
And let's give the information on the website. It is www.bahamiancontractors.com. Is it .com or org?
I thought it was org.
You thought it was org? Let me put up my phone quickly. Let me hold on.
I'm not sure.
You may be right.
I thought it was org, but I could be wrong.
You may be right.
But one good thing is we do have all of the information there. And you can even ask questions. If you're looking for something, you could ask questions. The worst that happens is we don't have the answer, but you can always ask. I mean, that would be the worst thing to happen, but I don't imagine that would ever happen because Donna, we have an administrator that is just awesome. She does everything she can possibly do to make sure that she gets all the information she needs. And when you meet her, she'll give you a big hug. She's very personable. She gets along with everybody. I mean, we really lucked out with Donna.
Yeah, Donna is our rock star in the Office of Health Administrator Association.
Yes.
Keeps everyone
mm-hmm.
in line.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's bahamiancontractors.org.
I think so.
Yeah, that's what's coming up. Yeah, so it's bahamiancontractors.org. Let's see if a website comes up. Yep.
Yep.
It is www.bahamiancontractors.org.
Right.
Please forgive me. We had a .com. Now we have a .org.
We did, yes.
Yeah, that's why. Mm-hmm. So I want everyone who's listening, go on the website, click on it, find out as much as you can about the BCA, mm-hmm. find out what we've done in the past, look at what we're proposing to do in the future, and look and see what's current with the BCA. And if you have any questions, like Debbie said, drop a question there.
Right.
Ask us. Once you send an email, we get it directly. We answer the questions. We help you with every your projects because we want persons to know we're not trying to be distant from you. If you have a question about something that's going on in your project, mm-hmm. email us and ask us. You're talking with all the contractors in the country. Whatever the question is, definitely we have an answer for
somebody
you.
Somebody will know. And remember with our luncheons, it's the last Wednesday
every month,
and we always have guest speakers.
Yeah.
We had the gentleman.
A great guest speaker
from
last
Town
month.
Planning.
Yes,
Keenan,
Mr. Johnson.
Keenan Johnson.
He really, really did a wonderful presentation.
He did.
And helped us understand. This is what the public need to understand. The Town Planning Committee really, really goes through a lot when considering a project, considering what they need to do, how the project should impact the community before they render the decision. Mm-hmm. And their decisions are not absolute. Their decisions are just within the scope of the decisions they can make.
Mm-hmm.
We got another call. Let's go to the phone lines. Good evening. You're live.
Yes, good evening. To the nail list.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. Second time I called, but, you know, I was just needed some information for general clarity because sometimes I'm a tradesman, but, you know, not in construction, right? My brother did, but I learned a lot from them, but he'd be kind of busy. So subsequently, the change in the roof on the homestead, you know, there's a portion of the building that's flat, right? And so I realized that I was having problems, you know, like because there's a portion of it that's flat. You know, you change it after so many years.
Yeah, it leaks again.
The wood starts to give way. So I decided to use the membrane, the torch membrane, right? Which is expensive. And so it was a small portion, but my brother, I always call him for guidance because the guys who was doing the carpentry side of it, I don't think they was familiar with the torch membrane. So there's a guy that works with him that is familiar with this, right? And so what I'm finding out is that they won't say that they're not familiar with it.
No.
Because they don't want to lose the job.
Yeah.
One of the guys was saying, you didn't need, you know, there's a base sheet or what they call the mule that you laid on before you start the membrane, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the guys was saying that you needed the tar to put it on, and he was reluctant to do that. And then one of the guys was saying you just torch it onto the plywood.
No.
Intuitively, I know it was BS.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy that puts it on, he said, you put it on. I said, but there's a reason why they make the base sheet.
Yes.
I said, but anyway, let me go buy the base sheet. And so the guy who came and put it on, he ran the base sheet and put it on. And so he sealed it up. And he showed me how to do it. He showed me what he was doing.
Do it properly,
I just like for you guys to discuss how it's done properly. Because, you know, it really was BS to me. I'll just hang up and listen.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your call. Now I don't know if I'm going to be able to be the best person to do it, and this is where it goes into the other areas of construction. I want to say this for a person to understand. Membrane and torch down roofing is specialty construction.
Right.
A carpenter, mason, tradesperson wouldn't know how to do that.
Right.
You have to get special training to apply what you call bituminous bitumen roofing, and was not a torch now. We call it in short torch now. It was bitumen roofing.
One of our board members actually
trade specific.
Has a company that does that.
Yeah, but it's a trade specific,
correct?
Skill and experience trade. Yeah, this is where and Carla, sorry if I can't provide the answer for you because again, it just goes into the depth of specialty that's in construction, and it helps us to underscore what we're talking about in construction. Debbie may be good at residential renovations and was not. But you're going to ask her, can you go into my home, take up all my plumbing, I'm going to reroute my electrical, upgrade my service. Debbie is going to have to call a plumber who is experienced to do that. Debbie is to then call an electrician who knows. And then they will give Debbie the pricing, the information. And then Debbie then can sit down with you and say, hey, this is what your project's going to do. This is the scope of your project. We have to get away from believing that once someone said there's a contractor, they can do everything. That's the first mistake you can make.
Right. That's why there's things called subcontractors, right? And one thing I wanted to mention, though, about the call is if you have a flat area of the roof, you shouldn't have a flat area of the roof because that flat area should run somewhere. So whenever that roof was done,
pool on top of your house.
Yeah, whenever that roof was done, it was done incorrectly because there should be an area that where something would run to, even if it's just a valley, right? So that's something that is incorrect. But sometimes that's why they use the styrofoam.
Yeah.
They put that on to give it the runs and all that kind of stuff.
But and that's correct. Mm-hmm. But there are instances where there's a true flat roof.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we want to know and say with a true flat roof. A true flat roof has to have a roof drain. Water has to go somewhere.
Yep.
So even if it's flat, like the hospital roofs and what's not, they are flat.
Mm-hmm.
They have roof drains.
Right.
Because water has to come off the roof. Mm-hmm. And it drains through the drain, through the building, and out somewhere.
But they still have a bit of a run on them.
Well, they have a pitch to the drain.
Yeah.
So you're directing the water somewhere. Mm-hmm. If you leave water in a sealed area, just stand, what you call standing water, you're hoping for the sun to evaporate all the water.
Mm-hmm.
That may happen, but how long would that process take? So again, we encourage persons. The BCA has memberships in hundreds. There are specialty contractors in our membership who only do one thing. Some people only do trusses. Some people only do electrical. Some people only do plumbing, HVAC. That's why in the contracting space, there's all these different trades.
I think that was, I think they, he calls himself Cell 57?
52.
52.
Yeah, that was 52.
So, all right, so he needs to leave us his number so that we could actually have somebody contact him.
Yeah.
Who does the roofing.
Yeah.
So that he could get his questions answered, because that's what we said that we're going to do here. So we
have
to
do
that.
Question,
so if he would leave his number, that's him?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we got a call. We're going to the next call. Good evening, you're live.
This is me again. I'm sorry for calling back.
A52 Norris.
I think my brother had mentioned the implementation of putting something to catch the water, but it's a small area. The roof has a run, but where the roof stops, that's where you say you could have put something to, you know, like the water.
To collect the water and drain it off.
I want to learn something. I heard Debbie said something about styrofoam that I've never even heard about, but the thing is, how would this fare against the membrane? I mean, the mule is down. They call it the base sheet, and then the membrane is on top. But he didn't put any nails in it. He just used the nail on the outside of the base sheet, and then the torch membrane just ran around it. And then he cut the portions of the membrane, the tar membrane, and then he run around the perimeter of it, and then sealed it. But as Red makes the drip cap, you can actually see the tar seal it off. Oh. I just wonder how would it fare. But it's not a big area. Thank God, because it is expensive, right? I don't know if
people... That white membrane is very expensive.
Another question, too. Do you guys suggest painting, like, the mastic onto the roof? You know, like, it's a new roof, so it's a hip valley roof. So
yeah.
I use the gecko.
I like gecko.
I like the gecko.
To the shingle.
Yeah.
To stop, I mean, I know it seals water, but does that give you an advantage as far as the shingle blowing off during the attic?
Absolutely.
Well, it stops the shingles from blowing off. It also reduces the temperature in your attic because it reflects instead of absorbs your heat. If you give us give the producer your number, we can have somebody. We'll give you the name of somebody
who could call and get some specific answers,
and you could ask all the questions. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for your call, though, 52. Thank you for your call. Great technical questions, and somebody in the membership knows it because we do have specialty roofing contractors in the association. Unfortunately, we are fresh out of time already, 7:33. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating with us fully and actively today. We really enjoyed this, and we need to do this once a month.
More often.
We invite the members of the public to call in with questions. We hopefully provide as many answers or direct them to the members of our association who could provide answers for them.
Right.
This has been another edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9, and we're saying good night.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Who has the best quality windows and doors in the country? Find out Saturday, April the 12th, when StormFrame Windows and Doors puts theirs and others to the test. Enjoy delicious taco and save big on top brands like PGT, CGI, and Windor. With hundreds of windows and doors in stock, StormFrame is the largest window and door dealer in the Caribbean and the largest fabricator and dealer in the Bahamas. A big sale, tasty tacos, one day only, and just in time for hurricane season. Saturday, April the 12th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., only at StormFrame windows and doors.
You've